Hawaii America Radio Network News. I'm Elizabeth Hess. The FBI and Department of Homeland Security are investigating two Palestinian brothers being held at a Metro Atlanta jail. The FBI is not commenting, but Gwinnett Police spokesman Dan Huggins says information covered during the arrest of the two men piqued the interest of federal investigators.
There were some problems. Their visas were both expired, and there was also some money transfers that appeared to look suspicious.
The publicity blitz for Senator Hillary Clinton's new book continues. The New York Democrat told NBC's Today Show that her husband's transgressions were private matters which were unfortunately made public.
And used then for partisan political advantage in what really amounted to as a power grab, you know, to abuse the Constitution and our political and our legal system.
The former First Lady's new book, Living History, came out yesterday. Iran denies accusations it failed to comply with the UN nuclear safeguards. Roxana Saberi reports from Tehran.
The head of Iran's Atomic Energy Organization says Iran imported a small amount of uranium hexafluoride from China in 1991. But Gholam Reza Aghazadeh says at the time, neither country thought it necessary to declare the material to the International Atomic Energy Agency. He told reporters in Tehran that Iran's legal interpretation of the agency's nuclear safeguard agreement led it to believe it didn't have to announce the import.
Of course, we never accept that we have failed in this regard to declare the materials to the agency, just in deference to the request of the Director General of the IAEA, we agreed to place it under the safeguard of the agency.
Aghazadeh said Iran had wanted to conduct research on the uranium for peaceful purposes, but never tested it. He says the U.S. is trying to launch a smear campaign against Iran by saying the uranium could be used to produce nuclear weapons. Roxana Saberi, Tehran.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol.
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief. Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue. Without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
Police in San Jose, California say the 9-year-old girl who was kidnapped from her home Friday was sexually assaulted. San Jose Police Chief William Lansdowne told CBS Early Show that 24-year-old David Montiel Cruz is the right suspect.
We have sufficient physical evidence now to tie him to the original kidnapping scene. We have some fingerprints that puts it together. We're absolutely confident that we'll be able to charge him to the fullest extent of the law.
U.S. officials think it is likely Al-Qaeda will try to launch an attack using chemical, biological, or nuclear weapons.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
Modesto, California, Downey High School class of 1993's 10-year reunion was being organized by Lacey Peterson before her tragic murder. Now her classmates are planning to remember her with a special tribute at the event she had been planning.
We are definitely planning something special for her, as well as our other fallen classmates that have passed on.
That's Scott Gordon, one of those on the reunion committee Lacey had been leading. He says the other classmate they'll be remembering is Airman First Class Justin Wood. He was killed by a car bomb while serving in Saudi Arabia in 1996. Gordon says poster-sized photos of Peterson and Wood will be on display. There'll be space on the frames for their classmates to sign. A slideshow of photos of Peterson and Wood is also being developed by the committee. The reunion is scheduled for this fall. Don Andrews, Modesto.
Eric Robert Rudolph is scheduled to be back in federal court in Birmingham, Alabama this afternoon for a bond hearing. The accused serial bomber is possibly facing the death penalty for bombings that killed two people and injured over 150. I'm Elizabeth Hess, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. The key to success can be hard to find, just like the key to your heart. But I know a car key whose loss can leave you flat out of luck. When I come back, I'll tell you why. Ah, spring, birds, flowers, and that blanket of pollen fuzz on your car. There's got to be a way to protect that shiny paint of your ride. And there is. A car cover made from the standard in car cover fabric, Block It by Kimberly-Clark. Research shows that car cover owners are so happy with their car covers, they buy them all over again. So make sure you get the best Block It car cover fabric from Kimberly-Clark. Why have you waited so long? Block It by Kimberly-Clark. Black cats and Friday the 13th aside, not having this key when you have a flat tire is truly bad luck. It's called a lug nut key, and its purpose is to prevent thieves from stealing custom wheels or expensive wheel covers. But unfortunately, if you misplace it, it also prevents you from changing a flat tire. Consult owner's manual to see if your wheels require a lug nut key, and if so, keep it handy. Otherwise, at flat tire time, you'll be flat out of luck. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting from coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, streaming out of the depths of outer space on the Sirius Satellite Channel 145, Sirius Satellite Radio, and broadcasting live across the Internet from IEAmericaRadio.com and RadioPower.org, which also rebroadcasts this program from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Welcome to our program today. We've got so much to cover. Lots of interesting things going on, lots of fascinating stuff. Has the PR industry harmed democracy by making it difficult to have real debate about real issues? In a few moments, we're going to have John Stauber on. We're going to talk with him about that. Got some fascinating mail here, or emails, messages, whatnot. Charles, well, I don't generally give last names on the air, so I won't, but he's the first vice chair of the 6th Congressional District of Democrats in Wisconsin. He's got a website called amendtheconstitution.com. And Charles is working on this thing, and he says, there's been a successful fight to include a resolution supporting a constitutional amendment in the Wisconsin Democratic Party platform and resolutions report. And this resolution calls for working for campaign finance reform. And here are some of the establishing rights to the person. This is the proposed amendment to the United States Constitution that they're suggesting. Section 1, the rights of citizens construed within this Constitution shall be to the person. Corporations shall not be afforded the same rights as individual citizens. Section 2, that all citizens shall have the right of to freedom from monopolies in commerce. Section 3, that all citizens shall have the right to freedom from corporations influencing the process of government, and that influence of the government by corporations shall be considered a crime, as it was in the United States from 1776 up until the 1890s. And in fact, in Wisconsin, it was a crime up until 1954, although that law wasn't largely enforced for many years. And Section 4, the Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. This, the Democrats in the state of Wisconsin, are putting forward on their Democratic Party platform. Interesting stuff. Got a bunch of other mail here to get to, but we'll do it later on in the program. Right now, I am very pleased and honored to have on the program with us John Stauber. John is the editor of PR Watch and co-author of several books, several of which I've read. Trust Us, We're Experts, How Industry Manipulates Science and Gambles with Your Future. Toxic Sludge is Good for You, Lies, Damn Lies in the Public Relations Industry. I think I quoted that book a couple of times in my book on equal protection. Mad Cow USA, and now he has a new book out called Weapons of Mass Deception, The Uses of Propaganda in Bush's War on Iraq. And welcome to the Tom Harpin program, John.
Thanks, Tom. It's a pleasure and honor to be on the air with you.
Oh, it's great to have you here. You know, there the PR industry has really blown up and taken over. I worked in this industry years ago and have some firsthand knowledge of it. And you know, some folks say that it really started with Potemkin. You know, it's Grigory Potemkin, the a field marshal who had an extended affair with Catherine the Great after she murdered her husband. And he set up these phony villages when she went out to tour the countryside so that she would think or others would think that everything was wonderful. And ever since then, it's just kind of grown. And now we've got corporations creating these phony villages in the form of think tanks and all sorts of other things. Is this... Tell us about the state of this. What's the state of democracy in relationship to think tanks? Not just to think tanks, but to the whole PR apparatus here in the United States.
Well, I think an Australian academic by the name of Alex Carey, who wrote in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, really summed it up best in a book that was published after his death. He wrote that the 20th century has been marked by three very important political developments, the rise of democracy and democracy movements all over the world, the rise of corporations and corporate power, and the rise of corporate propaganda to protect corporations from democracy.
Right.
And really, in a democracy or a country that is supposedly based on democratic principles, like Kerry's Australia or here in the United States, we tend to believe that we can see through propaganda, that we're too well educated and sophisticated to be fooled by it, that we have a hard-charging investigative press protected by the First Amendment, that if anyone were trying to manipulate public opinion and public policy and to deceive us, it would just not work. The ultimate irony is that, as Carey pointed out and we've pointed out, and Bob McChesney and Stuart Ewan and other writers have pointed out, it's precisely in countries that claim to be democracies where we have the most propaganda. And here in the United States, that is an industry called the PR industry. It's a huge multi-billion-dollar industry. And over the last 20 years, it's merged with political elections and lobbying, so that today in the Bush administration, we really see, unfortunately, a new pinnacle of deception, a new pinnacle of PR presidency. Ronald Reagan really got this rolling when PR geniuses like Michael Deaver, who's now with the Edelman firm, realized that if they could just wrap Reagan in the flag and have him appear everywhere and all the time with lots and lots of flags and red, white, and blue, they could pretty much peddle just about any policy. And we see now a president who has exploited the horrific terror attack of September 11th, 2001, to do just about anything he wants.
John, my recollection back, you know, in the history of the PR industry that I learned was that the modern American PR industry really, really came of age during the administration of Woodrow Wilson as an attempt to sell World War I to the American people.
Absolutely. When Sheldon Rampton and I wrote our first book back in 1995 titled Toxic Sludge is Good for You, as editors of PR Watch, which I founded 10 years ago, And
what's the website for that, John?
I was just going to say it's PR Watch, as in Public Relations Watch, prwatch.org.
Great.
And up on that website, we have almost 10 years of archived quarterlies. We have information on all our books. One of our books, Mad Cow USA, is even available free in its entirety as a download off our website.
That's
we think
marvelous.
That this issue is just so serious now, with the U.S. Failing to take steps that are adequate to prevent mad cow disease, that we just make the book of...
Hey, John, let me take you a brief tangent. I want to get back to this main question of, has the PR industry harmed democracy by making it difficult to have real debate about real issues? But you mentioned mad cow disease, and when I was working on a book called Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, I came across this little story in one of the newspapers that said that there was a study at the University of Pennsylvania that found that some percentage, 5 to 15% sticks in my head. It was a fairly low percentage, but it was some percentage of people that they autopsied who had died of Alzheimer's or senile dementia actually appeared to have a prion disease, and that it just stopped there. Nobody had taken it any farther, and nobody has ever done any of these autopsies. And I never found any follow-up on that. I called the University of Pennsylvania. I wasn't able to find anybody, but it was in a legitimate newspaper. Do you know anything about that?
Well, we actually cite that study in our book, Mad Cow USA, and yes, that's correct, that when there have been autopsy examinations of people who've died of dementia diseases, and of course, when you're talking about dementia diseases, the first one to think of is Alzheimer's, which now afflicts anywhere from 4 to 5 million people in the U.S., but when, and this is not routinely done, in fact, it's rarely done, there have been examinations in autopsy to try to determine which dementia people are dying of, they're finding significant levels of what's called Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, or the human equivalent right. of mad cow disease.
Right.
And after we wrote Mad Cow USA in 1997, a book that, frankly and unfortunately, predicted the outbreak of mad cow disease in North America, we realized that even writing a book on this, even having some of the top scientists in this field advocating for the U.S. to stop this practice of feeding slaughterhouse waste back to animals, that wasn't being done. So we filed a formal legal petition, a couple of them actually, and one was with...
John, let me pause you there, because I don't want to take this whole show in the direction of mad cow disease. In fact, what I'd like to do is have you back on perhaps on our Everything You Know Is Wrong Day on Thursday afternoon and talk about that. But I do want to get, because we have limited time here. We've only got
Tom,
3 minutes left in this segment. And I'd like to get back to weapons of mass deception. Your new book, which I assume people can pre-order now from their bookstores and from Amazon and whatnot, because there is an ISBN number assigned for it.
Absolutely. You can go to your favorite independent bookstore, or you can order online and get Weapons of Mass Deception as soon as it comes out, and it's slated to and will be on sale July 28th.
Right, by Sheldon Rampton and John Stauber, S-T-A-U-B-E-R. And John, who is our guest today, it's 18 minutes after the hour here on the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. And John, tell us what the, in 2 quick minutes here, what are the key points that you make in this book?
Well, just to tie something up here, one thing that we talk about is how this deception industry of public relations really did get its start with World War One, the largest PR campaign of the time, the Woodrow Wilson regime selling involvement in Europe's war to the American public. And out of that campaign arose the PR industry. Jump ahead now to a decade ago with the U.S. war in the Persian Gulf to drive Iraq out of occupied Kuwait. Saddam Hussein was our ally. In fact, just weeks before Saddam Hussein's army invaded Kuwait and took over the oil fields, the U.S. ambassador was meeting with Saddam to discuss the common problem that the U.S. government and Saddam had of Saddam's horrible image as a dictator.
The April Gillespie meeting?
Gillespie meeting.
John, we're coming up against a break here. If you want to hang on, if you could hang on, please, we'll pick this conversation up on the other side of this commercial break.
Love to.
Great. We're speaking with John Stauber, the author of Weapons of Mass Deception, the co-author, and several other books. You're listening to the Tom Hartman program, where we still honor we the people instead of they the transnational corporations. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One-A-Day Men's Health Formula. One-A-Day Men's is a complete multi with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate. You know your risk? Help beat the odds. Take One-A-Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours. So what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
Peter Worre Show.
Doug's in Santa Fe listening to KTRC.
Isn't it good that the people that are in power can always contradict themselves?
Yeah, did you?
Prostitution wasn't legal in Iraq, but yet Saddam Hussein had a series of concubines, one of which our CIA and federal government was getting information on him prior to the war.
Right. Turned out he uses Viagra. But so does Bob Dole. But so does Bob Dole. And thank you for Viagra. How many people are getting to go to Viagra Falls these days that previously couldn't? So it's a good thing.
Did you know this, that Saddam also wrote romance novels, writes them, writes plays and things like
that? Yeah, and he likes Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
He takes Viagra, puts on the Frank Sinatra tunes, and off he goes.
The Peter Worre Show, weekdays from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Doolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Doolittle, to talk to the animals. And you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All this is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Steven Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Steven at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
This is the time.
Welcome back, bringing you Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, live on the Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 145, and of course streaming on the internet from IEAmericaRadio.com. We're talking with John Stauber, author of Weapons of Mass Deception, Trust Us, We're Experts, Toxic Sludge is Good for You, And there was one other one in there, John, that I've forgotten.
Probably Mad Cow USA.
Mad Cow USA, that's right. Thank you. And it's the benefit of having your notes in front of you. They've gotten buried here in this pile. One of the things that I always thought about with this thing for this hour, has the PR industry harmed democracy by making it difficult to have a real debate about real issues? And it seemed to me when 9/11 happened, I lived in Germany in the 80s when they were having their problem with terrorism, or kind of on the tail end of that. Italy had had a problem with the Red Brigades. Greece had a problem with the, was it November 14th or November 17 group, whatever, November something group. And they all identified these terrorists, some of which were based in other countries, as criminals. And they went after them with police and Interpol and concerted, and by defining them as criminals and outcasts, they stripped them of legitimacy and made people less willing to endorse them. And it seemed to me that the Bush administration, by declaring war against a bunch of criminals who don't own a state, I mean, you can only declare war against another nation, in my opinion, Clinton went after these guys, but he didn't declare a war on them, you know, especially a war that requires changing the constitutional structure of the United States in order to fight, that we made a big mistake by calling this thing a war and going into it. We should have called it a police action. We should have called them criminals. We could have mobilized the world. We could have gotten all the benefits that we had of these good feelings after 9/11. And now we end up with these weapons of mass deception, this enormous PR campaign in order to shove this war down our throats. Does that make sense to you, John?
Well, I agree completely with you, Tom. And I'm hoping that now that the war in Iraq is over, but of course it's not over because it's now an occupation of Iraq and a very dubious occupation.
Well, even Bush didn't say it was over. He said the major hostilities have ceased.
Right, and of course the Bush administration has cast this war not as a war now. They're calling it one battle in the never-ending war on terrorism.
Right.
And I think you're absolutely right that 9/11 was just such a total shock to the system here in the U.S. and such a horrific event that the response to it was exploited and directed by the so-called neocons in the Bush administration for their own policy objectives.
Well, these people who had been promoting these policy objectives since the 80s and
absolutely
openly with the Project for a New American Century since the, what, 98 that came out, or 96?
Right, absolutely, 98, I believe. And,
yeah.
You know, this is Bill Kristol's think tank for launching a new American empire. And back then, the idea of these hardcore neo-Reaganites, to launch an offensive action against Iraq seemed bizarre. But once these folks came into government in the Bush administration, they seized immediately upon the terror attacks of 9/11 as a green light to attack Iraq.
All they needed was a match to set fire to that kindling. John, stick around. We've got another commercial break here. We'll be back. This is Talk Radio for the Rest of Us, the Tom Hartman radio program. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Members of the Graphics Communications International Union and Unite came together for a joint rally outside a convention at the Moscone Center in downtown San Francisco yesterday. Inside, the world's largest commercial printer, Quebecor World, was presenting an award to Cintas, a Cincinnati-based laundry and uniform company.
Quebecor says that everybody in America touches a Quebecor product once a day. We think it's time that everybody in America hears how Quebecor is treating workers.
Jennifer Love of the AFL-CIO says that Quebecor World often refuses to bargain with its unions.
This is a great moment when one anti-union company is rewarding another. Quebecor World is sponsoring a luncheon at the annual catalog conference, which is honoring catalogs, one of which is produced by Cintas Corporation.
With its 17,000 production workers at more than 300 plants, Cintas is the largest provider of uniform rentals in the nation. And according to Leah Rothstein of Unite in Northern California, it's also among the most anti-worker.
They spend tons of money fighting unions. They hire consultants. They intimidate. They fire. They threaten their workers to stop them from unionizing.
Both unions say they'll keep up the pressure until both companies change their ways.
British resistance to a proposed European Union Charter of Labor Rights is gaining strength. The Confederation of British Industry, one of the country's largest business lobbies, says a provision in the charter requires that all temporary workers be afforded the same pay and benefits after 6 weeks on a job. Speaking for its members, who employ more than 6 million British workers, the CBI says such a right would lead to hiring freezes and job cuts, as it would take the value out of short-term employment. Last week, the British government announced it would block the implementation of an EU Bill of Labor Rights if the rights of workers to organize and strike were not deleted from the charter.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Tired of talk radio sounding like a propaganda arm of the Republican Party? Well, so am I. This is Peter Werby, and I've moved my program to 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays. Join me as I expose the Grand Oil Party's plans to pay off their corporate paymasters by making this country a permanent warfare state while destroying the environment and attacking the rights of women and working people in the process. So tune by the show, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and join me, Peter Werby, as we make plans to take back our country.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise.
And welcome back to the vast, radical, middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. If you'd like to drop into our chat room, there's about a dozen folks in there talking about the topic that we are discussing here and our guest, John Stauber. A chat room you can reach by going to tomhartman.com, clicking on the link to the radio program, and then clicking on the link that says chat room. That will take you to the International Trade Forum on CompuServe. Click the chat button, and there's a full-service chat function there available. And if you'd like to be on the program today, if you'd like to make a comment, or if you have a question for John or for me, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, and we welcome your calls and questions. We're speaking with John Stauber, author of Weapons of Mass Destruction, with PRWatch.org, and many other books and functions like that. And John, in today's Associated Press, there was a story by Mike Glover. I found this in the Burlington Free Press here in Vermont, or here in the People's Republic of Vermont. And Howard Dean, who gets a lot of coverage in our local newspapers, yesterday apparently said the question now is going to become, what did the president know and when did he know it? And Dennis Kucinich says they took this country into a war we didn't have to go into. They led this country into a war that was unnecessary. Today is day 82 of the search for weapons of mass destruction. And Bob Graham says this is a pattern of deception and deceit by the American people. John Dean says, I hope that never again will his party 6 months in advance support a unilateral attack on another country without having all the facts. And John Dean, the attorney for Richard Nixon during the Watergate crisis, prior to the Watergate crisis, just wrote a piece in Find Laws suggesting that if Bush actually lied to us about something that lost over 170 American lives and thousands of Iraqi lives, that's a more impeachable offense than lying about having private consensual sex with another consenting adult. Now, in the face of this, and this gets to my question here, John, Bill Kristol, who you mentioned a few minutes ago, just this was published in Newsmax.com, which is one of the right-wing websites. Bill Kristol was on Fox News Sunday, and he has now begun the spin. He says, and I quote, we shouldn't deny, those of us who were hawks, that there could have been misstatements made, I think in good faith, by the President and the Secretary of State that will turn out to be erroneous, end quote. John, what do you see happening with this? I mean, you're an expert on the PR industry here. You know this stuff, and you know these people.
I hadn't heard that William Kristol quote, but I wish he had said that a month ago. It would have been in our chapter on doublespeak. Statements made based on good faith. Is that it?
Right. That's the news spin. I mean, he went on Fox News Sunday and said this, and my take on it is that this, and now it's all over all the right wing sites right now on the internet. My guess is that this is the first salvo in the PR campaign to keep Bush from being impeached for lying, the same way that Clinton was impeached for lying.
Well, I think that it would have been impossible for the Bush administration to turn a response to the horrific terror attacks of 9/11 into a preemptive war on Iraq, were it not for the enthusiastic complicity in these deceits on the part of especially the televised media. One thing that I find very frightening are some early surveys and polls, and don't ask me to cite them because I don't have them in front of me, but I'm sure you've seen them, indicating that over 40% of the American public actually believe that the weapons of mass destruction have been found.
Over half of the American public, in one poll I saw about a month ago, believed that most of the hijackers of the aircraft on 9/11 were Iraqis.
Exactly, and you know, and then another significant percentage of people are saying, well, we don't really care whether Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with al-Qaeda and 9/11 or whether there were no weapons of mass destruction. This was just such a neato, keno, bang-up American war, and it got us all so proud that, whatever it was worth it.
And, yeah, it's not war, it's sports. Not
yeah,
team
and
won.
Sort of, and so you know, the video game was really worth the trouble we went through. And so I'm afraid that, you know, yes, we're now seeing people from Howard Dean to John Dean to even Democrats who voted for the war saying we were deceived, and yet the public that was deceived is still being deceived in large part because of media conglomerates owned by Rupert Murdoch. After all, Fox News, which really emerged as the network to watch after the terror attacks, has hyped the hell out of this war on terror. And it's really used fear to market itself. And the reason people in the U.S. are so confused about why we went to war or what the fallout is going to be is that they're getting their news from Fox, owned by Rupert Murdoch. And, of course, Bill Kristol owes his job at the Weekly Standard also to Rupert Murdoch. Rupert bankrolls that publication. And this
So, John, are you suggesting that this is being done by corporations to make money, or is this being done by cynical politicians to hold power, or is this being done by well-intentioned people who really believe that they're doing the right thing? I mean, you know, what's up here?
Well, I think you've got all of the above, actually, working. But clearly what happens is that corporations and politicians exploit situations to their own advantage. And the Fox network has exploited the heck out of this for ratings, and also because it follows the ideological lead of its owner, Rupert Murdoch.
And Roger Ailes, who's running the show, who is a former Reagan operative.
Right. Roger Ailes used to be one of the top Republican attack dog campaign strategists, and when Murdoch started the Fox News Network, he picked Ailes to suddenly become, as Ailes said, a news guy, and now run Fox. But the really scary thing here is that without an aggressive, investigative media that reaches most people, this sort of jingoism is
right.
succeeding in manipulating public opinion in the U.S. and keeping the American people confused, even, as you say now, 80-some days after it's becoming increasingly
days.
Clear there was
yeah.
no significant WMD program.
John, in our chat room here, one of the folks talking says, when Clinton lied, nobody died. Do you think that there is enough of a corporate and governmental constituency for getting out messages like that, you know, suggesting that what Bush has done, if it can be demonstrated, and it certainly seems to be clear from what's been put in the media so far, but again, who knows who's spinning what. If it can be demonstrated that he had knowledge in advance that he was lying when he spoke to the American people, when he spoke to the United Nations, when he had his meetings with leaders of other countries, and that, and of course France had very good intelligence, and that he just, you know, he ignored it. If it can be demonstrated that he lied, do you think that he's at risk, or do you think that there's such a firm control of the media that he'll just whistle through this as he has so many other things where he's said one thing and done another?
I don't see really any indication that this deception that led us into the war is anywhere near threatening Bush politically. And I say that, unfortunately, because the media has been afraid to really investigate this and criticize the president, because if they did, again, you would find that where did these deceits come from? They were passed on by the media. Without the media repeating these half-truths and rumors and phony allegations, they wouldn't have sunk into the minds of the American public.
Here's a piece from FAIR, the Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting.org, FAIR.org. They said that they looked at 1,617 on-camera appearances on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox, and PBS during the period of March 20th to April 9th, essentially the bombing period in Iraq. And they found that the ratio of pro-war sources to anti-war sources among U.S. guests on these programs was 25 to 1. There were only 3% of U.S. sources were opposed to the war, and two-thirds of them were not identified by name. They were simply referred to as protesters, whereas 71% of the guests openly favored the war. And it seems that CBS was the worst, NBC was the best, and Fox, oddly, was the best at having anti-war voices on, but they mostly had them on so that they could ridicule them and tear them apart, make fun of them sort of thing. They had, the total number of anti-war voices out of all 840 U.S. sources in these 1,617 on-camera appearances were Senator Robert Byrd was on once, Pete Stark of California was on once, Dennis Kucinich was on twice on PBS. Byrd was featured on PBS, Stark and Kucinich were on Fox News. And that was it.
Yeah.
That was it. And a quarter of the nation was on record as being opposed to the war, and some opinion polls were showing more than half the nation felt we shouldn't go to war unless we had solid proof or the U.N. was behind us. So has the PR industry harmed democracy here, John? And if so, what can we do about it?
Well,
what's the hope here?
Public relations and propaganda is always harmful to democracy, because the whole idea behind PR and propaganda is a small group of people develop the message and inject it into the targeted audience and try to get people to believe a certain message, and that's diametrically opposed to this idea of democracy and education and debate, where we just unleash the media, do the best investigative reporting we can.
Right, the old
get
fashioned
the information
idea.
Out there and let people debate it. PR is, as Alex Carey said, how democracy is defeated. And now I think the real challenge for the anti-war movement and the real challenge for people who fear that this foreign policy is backfiring and actually increasing the terrorist threat against America is to really force out these sorts of facts that you just read that are being put out by Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting and that we are putting out in our new book, Weapons of Mass Deception, and get this debate turned around. Because what has just happened was a horrific assault on democracy in the U.S., but there's no real indication to me that anything is going to change because the media that assisted the administration in deceiving the public is not about to blow the whistle on itself.
Right. So, John, let's talk in just the final 3 or 4 minutes here of this segment. And if anybody has a question for John, 1-800-TALK-YES is the number. Let's talk about the strategies that are employed by these folks. Talk about third party, you know, like the Water Environment Foundation that you came across at one point, or the Greening, what was the
Greening Earth Society.
Greening Earth Society.
Right.
In very short form, please.
On all these issues, environmental issues, economic issues, issues of war and peace, what we see is that the Bush administration or the defense industry, you know, the big contractors that make the guns and bombs, or the chemical industry, they don't want to be out front there with the message because, you know, that's pretty obvious. If they're telling us things are a certain way, we're going to be skeptical. So they find experts who we can trust. They might be journalists. They might be so-called retired military officials now teaching at some college. They might be academics from the chemistry department of universities. They might be big
think
names
tanks.
By Siever Coop. And they push those people forward with whatever the message is. And the media pushes those people forward, and we tend to believe them because, after all, they don't have an interest in the outcome of this. But when you pull back the curtain and you look at what's going on, you see that military analyst actually has a financial stake in military contracting companies, is part of a good old boys network, is ideologically committed to the goals of the neo-Reaganites who run Bush foreign policy, but all that doesn't get reported in the media, and instead the media basically sanctifies these third-party experts as experts they went out and found who are independent and whom we can trust. So that's the scam of the third-party expert, and it's one of the biggest tactics and most deceptive and effective tactics used by anyone in PR.
Can you give us an example?
Well, you mentioned the Water Environment Federation, you know, telling us toxic sewage sludge is safe. Turns out they're actually the industry that's dumping sludge on farmland.
That was one of the things that led to your first book, wasn't it?
Absolutely. We picked this ridiculous title, Toxic Sludge is Good for You, and then in investigating found out that indeed the sewage sludge industry has a huge campaign working with the EPA
to promote this. Yeah, this is incredible. John, we've got Kodak in West Palm Beach. Would like to make a comment here. Kodak, thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome to the program.
Yes. Hi, Tom. I'd like to thank you, first of all, for this forum and also thank you for presenting different sides of the argument in a logical manner in which the American public can understand and get a grasp of. Because it seems as if everything that this administration does or says is put a spin on, like the National Parks referendum, or anything that they say, they have a spin on it, which it makes it confusing for the for the novice listener who only gets sound bites to really get a concept on what's going on. So we're gonna have to go on. And so I guess, and if we look at the total amount of information, not just the bits and pieces of how this administration has did, they get a negative mark from me.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kodak. If you'd like to amplify on that point, hang on. If that's the end of your point, that's fine. We're coming up against a break here. We'll have about 3 minutes after this.
Hang on.
Okay. And John, if you want to stick around, you can comment, respond to Kodak. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
Hello, James Carver here again to tell you about InPhone, a new enhanced directory service you get by dialing 888-411-1111. First blush, a lot of people say, Jimmy, that's way too many numbers to dial. Well, that dog won't hunt.
No, it won't.
Plug this number into your speed dial, and fella, you got one-button access to the most powerful information service ever. That's InPhone, 888-411-1111. InPhone, how can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
This week on E! He may be a one-woman man, but he still spends like a bachelor. It's good to be Ben Affleck. Plus, it's the in-your-face world of the paparazzi. Celebrities Uncensored.
Get the camera out of my face!
And if you thought the show was hot and heavy, wait till you see what went on when the cameras went off. The E! True Hollywood Story of Melrose Place. It's all new, all true, every night this week on E!
Hi, this is Peter Werby from the IE America Radio Network, wondering whether you've heard about In These Times magazine, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture, has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. Find out what you're missing. Visit them online at www.inthesetimes.com or call them toll-free at 1-800-827-0270.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably a few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry. Cause I always wanted me one that was long and black.
Welcome to the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. And we're talking with John Stauber, PRWatch.org, and the author, co-author of Weapons of Mass Deception, The Uses of Propaganda in Bush's War on Iraq. And Kodak in West Palm Beach had a comment. We've got about 2.5 minutes left in this segment, Kodak, so if you want to make it quickly, we'll go to John.
I will
and
make
his
it
response.
Quick. Thank you. Getting back to how this administration and the media spins everything, let's take Jessica Lange. That story now has come out to be in the mainstream media is false, and then the person, the lawyer that actually tried to turn over, he's been in his family whisked away and given a job with someone that has contacted this administration. The trucks that they were found, the media says that they think they have found them, and the American public just never hear the other story that says, okay, the British have ascertained that these are the trucks that we sold to them that was actually part of a weather balloon system.
Right. They were to make hydrogen for the balloons, for the rangefinders,
right,
for artillery.
And I heard someone today from the administration speak on NPR saying that Saddam Hussein himself is the WMD, that he was such
Right, trying to re-spin it.
Right.
Good. So, Kodak, your point is that they're messing with our language here?
Yes, and then see, the American public buys right into this because then when you have a discussion with them, they try the same tactic. They try to talk around the points, and then they try to derail the conversation with saying these mass graves.
Good point, Kodak. I'm gonna have to stop you there because I want to have John just comment on this, and then we gotta wrap up the hour. I'm sorry. Okay, John, your thoughts on this?
Well, yeah, Kodak made great points across the board, and this is exactly why Sheldon Rampton and I thought it was necessary to drop what we were doing a couple of months ago and write this new
here,
book,
John.
Weapons of Mass Deception. It'll be available July 28th.
Great. You can pre-order this in your local bookstore, Weapons of Mass Destruction by Sheldon Rampton and John Stauber, our guests this hour. Pat from Santa Fe, hang on the phone. We'll pick up your call after the hour. John, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks,
Kodak,
Good luck.
Joining us. Thank you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Elizabeth Hess. A senior Hamas official has been wounded in an attack by an Israeli gunship in the Gaza Strip. Israeli embassy spokesman Mark Regev said the assassination attempt was an effort to decapitate the terrorist group Hamas.
These are terrorists, these are murderers, and I hope for a day when we won't have to do operations like this. This operation is not against the Palestinian people. This operation is not against the peace process, which we want to succeed. This is a surgical strike against a leading terrorist.
Israeli security sources confirmed that Israel had tried to assassinate Rentisi. The United Nations Security Council is demanding an immediate end to fighting in Liberia. Sergey Lavrov, who is currently president of the Security Council, warned of a disastrous impact on the 1 million inhabitants of Liberia's capital.
We call upon all Liberian stakeholders to immediately cease hostilities to give the current peace process a chance to succeed. We appeal to the parties to provide security guarantees for safe and unhindered access by humanitarian agencies to vulnerable groups. And we also appeal to international community to provide humanitarian assistance to alleviate the growing suffering of the Liberian people.
With rebels now ringing the city, the U.S. government is calling for a ceasefire. Canadian health authorities have closed a hospital to new patients because of a possible fresh cluster of SARS cases. Some of the latest patients being tested for SARS were undergoing dialysis treatment, but Lake Ridge Health Center spokesman Dr. Don Atkinson says it's too soon to determine the cause of their infection.
It wasn't clear as to whether the acute care hospital directives applied to that site or not. So the dialysis staff, since about last Thursday, have been using full protective gear.
Police in San Jose, California say the 9-year-old girl who was kidnapped from her home Friday was sexually molested. The girl got away late Sunday and is home with her family. San Jose Police Chief William Lansdowne told CBS Early Show that 24-year-old David Montiel Cruz is the right suspect.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol.
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief. Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue. Without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
In order for North Korea to address the issues of starvation and poor health care in their country, the U.S. says they must cease their nuclear weapons program immediately. White House spokesman Ari Fleischer said yesterday starvation and poor health in North Korea are a direct result of their government's poor decisions.
Well, I think this statement shows an interesting glimpse for North Korea to be acknowledging what the world knows, and that is that they have created a circumstance where their own people are suffering as a result of the decisions that the government has made that deprives the people the basic resources.
This week on E! He may be a one-woman man, but he still spends like a bachelor. It's good to be Ben Affleck. Plus, it's the in-your-face world of the paparazzi. Celebrities Uncensored.
Get the camera out of my face!
And if you thought the show was hot and heavy, wait till you see what went on when the cameras went off. The E! True Hollywood Story of Melrose Place. It's all new, all true, every night this week on E!
The Center for Disease Control and Prevention says 33 cases of possible monkeypox are under investigation in the Midwest. The affected states are Wisconsin, Illinois, and Indiana. 7 people required hospitalization. Although no one has died from the rash-like illness, CDC infectious disease expert Dr. Steve Ostroff said there is plenty of concern.
Whenever you hear about a new virus being introduced into an ecosystem where it's not been present, you have to be very, very concerned about the public health threat.
Monkeypox is spread to humans from exotic animals, notably prairie dogs sold at pet stores or at pet swap meets. Chicago Cubs slammer Sammy Sosa will have a hearing today in front of Major League Baseball officials. They will hear his appeal on an 8-game suspension for using a corked bat. Officials are expected to rule on the appeal later this week. Alleged serial bomber Eric Robert Rudolph is due in federal court in Birmingham, Alabama today for a bond hearing. I'm Elizabeth Hess, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Most accidents occur between 3 and 5 p.m., but how about really bad accidents? Here's a hint. Paul Revere could have been a victim. I won't leave you in the dark, because when we come back, I'll tell you.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered the company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
Take it from Paul Revere, midnight rides are risky. Although our byways are busiest during rush hours, more than twice as many fatal accidents occur between midnight and 2 a.m. While a major contributor is driving after late-night partying, night vision is also a factor. For a safe midnight ride, make sure that your lights are working, windshield's clean, and headlight aim is properly adjusted. Because drivers blinded by your improperly focused headlights could add to the highway death toll. Oh yes, if you're drinking, don't forget to designate a driver. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us!
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Back to the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting from coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, streaming from outer space on the Sirius radio satellite, channel 145, and broadcasting live on the internet at IEAmericaRadio.com and RadioPower.org, and rebroadcast from 5 to 7 p.m. at RadioPower.org. In our chat room, if you go to TomHartman.com and then click over to the radio program link and the chat room link, and that'll take you to the International Trade Forum on CompuServe. If you're not an AOL or CompuServe member, you can get a screen name. You don't have to pay for it or give credit cards or anything. And push the chat button in the International Trade Forum, and it opens our chat room. And there's about a dozen folks in there talking, and really interesting conversation. And one of the points, a couple of very good points have been made. Aaron made a point earlier that let me see if I can find it here, that if we, yeah, the fact is that the corporate, where'd it go? Well, anyway, his point was, just expecting them to change because we demand it seems to ignore power relationships. And if we're going to complain about the media, we really have to say, what is it we want to replace it with? Or what's the alternative? What is the alternative vision? And I would suggest that the alternative vision is democracy, is returning to control and power of we the people. This was the radical idea of the founders of this country. That we, the people, could run our own country. And one of the things that we, the people, understood really well, in large part from reading Adam Smith back in 1776, and we've had quotes from Thomas Jefferson about this, from James Madison about this. We listened yesterday to actual recordings of Teddy Roosevelt talking about it in 1905 and 1915. William Howard Taft talking about it. Franklin Roosevelt talking about it. We've heard before Dwight Eisenhower talking about it. One of the key concepts here is that unregulated, unrestrained, what is called free market, is neither free nor a market ultimately. Because what happens is that in a small pond, the big fish will eventually eat all the little fish until there's nothing but big fish left. And that becomes a disaster for the big fish. Because they then start dying off and there's no more little fish. We need the incubators. We need the small businesses. And in order to protect small businesses, government has traditionally played a role. In order to protect and encourage competition, government has played a role. It's one of the reasons why Thomas Jefferson argued that there should be an amendment to the United States Constitution as part of the Bill of Rights banning monopolies in commerce. That it should be illegal, and in fact it was in every state in the Union from 1776 or from the 1780s up until the 1890s, and in many cases up until the 20th century, the 1940s, 1950s, it was illegal in every state in the Union for corporations to own other corporations, to exist more than 40 years, to give money to politicians. I mean, all of these things were banned. There was this understanding that the government plays a role in this because government is us. Government is not of them. Those folks who run around saying, "Ah, that bad, big government is bad. We got to do something about it." Well, yeah, in the Soviet Union, I'm right there with you. In Burma, big government is terrible. But the idea of a democracy is that it's not a kingdom. It's not a dictatorship. It's not a theocracy, and it's not a feudal estate or a feudal state run by the super rich. It is government of, by, and for we the people. A very unique concept, one that is a sacred archetype. Here we are on the Tom Hartman program. It's 11 minutes after the hour. If you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 825-5937. Our quote for the day is from Aristotle. He said, "If liberty and equality, as is thought by some, are chiefly to be found in democracy, they will be best attained when all persons alike share in the government to the utmost." We have, in our media in the United States, trusts, clear violations of the Sherman Antitrust Act. And not just in the media. I mean, it's just right across the board. Ever since in the 80s Reagan stopped enforcing the Sherman Antitrust Act, this beast has grown up and is biting us. Could think tanks help the left unite and win and define a vision for 2004 will be our topic of discussion for this hour. Let me just share a little more email with you here. This is a great one. Jim in Philadelphia sent me this note, "Fattening Frogs for Snakes." And he said, essentially, that when the right-wingers, when Ashcroft and whatnot come along and they say, "Well, you know, we got to have more powers to arrest people and not tell other people about it," and you know, all this Patriot 2 stuff that is just open, naked police state, in my opinion. He says, and I quote, "Just put on a big smile and simply say, 'I can't wait until Hillary becomes president and gets to use all these new laws,'" end quote. Your put-on smile will become real when you see the look of horror come over their faces. They hate and fear Hillary, and that enables them to see the danger. I think a lot of these people who are suggesting that this kind of legislation should be passed, or, you know, like the Republicans right now who are saying, "Let's do away with the filibuster." Now, of course, the whole rant about doing away with the filibuster has little to do with Miguel Estrada or Priscilla Owens. It has to do with two upcoming vacancies in the Supreme Court, and they don't want the Senate to have to vote by a two-thirds majority or a 60-vote majority. They want the Senate to be able to vote by a simple majority, which they control. And so they're going to try and change the rules after 227 years. What the danger is that they get what they want. And then they're out of power and the Democrats come in, because the pendulum will swing back, although I am convinced they don't believe it ever will. I think they have done a coup d'etat and this is it. Republican power forever. Let the corporations reign. Anyhow, Jim says, know, when they say that, just say, yeah, yeah, give us those police state powers, because I can't wait until Hillary is president and she can use those to suppress the Republicans. Another one, he says, I don't own a gun, but I never miss an opportunity to smile and say, I use the Second Amendment to protect my rights under the First. It sure makes them think. And then he says, if it is not moral to harvest stem cells to save Ronald Reagan because an embryo will die, then it can't be moral to kill innocent children in Iraq to liberate others. So he's just recommending that we use jujitsu, logic jujitsu. Lefty sent an email to me. I'm not sure where he's located. He said, did you notice today that Donald Rumsfeld, in explaining why Iraq will not be having elections anytime soon, cites the, quote, election, end quote, of Adolf Hitler as a valid reason to nix Iraqi elections? Mr. Rumsfeld might be good at creating his own intelligence, but when it comes to history, he exposes himself as a fool. Hitler was never elected. Like G.W. Bush, he was appointed. In Hitler's case, he was appointed chancellor by the elected president of Germany, Paul von Hindenburg. And in our chat room, not in our chat room, in our on our message board, some messages. Barbazur, message under the second page to this, I'm not sure where he's from, said, I am enjoying this discussion of the Republican Teddy Roosevelt. He says, I think TR was a great man who saw some bad stuff coming with corporations controlling everything. And Tom Hartman's book on equal protection really woke me up to the way corporations control society. We need to get back to human values, and both Teddy Roosevelt and Robert Reich approach things from that side. Reich may not be right about everything, but he's on the right track. And interesting, on the left, the Democrats.org website has a petition on it. Sign the petition for American values today. Support the Democrats' fight against Bush's extreme judges. And they're actually going to compile the petitions and deliver them to Tom Daschle in person. That's at Democrats.org. That's the official Democratic National Committee website. And we had something from Republicans.org. Well, I guess that was last Friday. Usually on Friday we go through the Republican website. So our question for this hour, can think tanks help the left unite and win in 2004? We see the impacts of think tanks in a whole bunch of different areas. For example, in today's New York Times, Robert Baer wrote an article where he said, the debate over prescription drug benefits for the elderly this week is happening, right? This wrenching, politically polarizing debate. And he says, a central issue is whether private health plans can deliver better care at lower cost than the traditional Medicare program created 38 years ago. Now, I would suggest to you that if that was really the debate, that, you know, it's easy. Yes, corporations can deliver medical services for about a tenth of a percent less than Medicare can. It costs Medicare about 3% to deliver health care. It costs corporations between 2.7 and 2.9%. The problem, however, is that corporations don't charge their clients 2.9% for that health care. They charge 14 to 29% for that health care. Why? Because they have to pay dividends. They have to pay multi-million dollar salaries to their CEOs. They have to have PR teams and public relation firms and lobbying firms in Washington, D.C. They have to give millions and millions of dollars in campaign contributions to politicians and political parties, and they have to support think tanks and political action groups. They have to pay for multi-million dollar corporate headquarters. They got to pay for their corporate jets and their limousines. They've got to pay to fly doctors all over the world and give them these spiffy weekend vacations under the guise of education to get them to buy their products. They have all of these expenses that you would expect. And after all the expenses, of course, they have to show a profit. And so, yeah, corporations have figured out how to deliver health care for a fraction cheaper than Medicaid can, but they don't cost the government a fraction cheaper. They cost the government anywhere from 3 to 10 times as much as Medicaid because they have all these added expenses. But that reality, because of think tanks in large part, is going to be ignored in this debate. Mark my words. The New York Times goes on, if Congress just wanted to add drug benefits to Medicare, they could do so by adding just a few words to Section 1832 of the Social Security Act, which defines the scope of benefits. All they have to do is put in the words, and prescription drugs. That's all. Three words. But the debate that's going on is, as Robert Parris says in the New York Times, much more fundamental than that. The debate is really becoming a debate about, do we want private corporations controlling our health care, profiting from our health care, and telling you through their own bureaucratic systems whether or not you can see the doctor of your choice? Or do you want the funding of health care to be done by government, responsive to its citizens? Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few moments with this discussion on think tanks and the left. Some interesting new developments. Stick around.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
This week on E! He may be a one-woman man, but he still spends like a bachelor. It's good to be Ben Affleck. Plus, it's the in-your-face world of the paparazzi. Celebrities Uncensored.
Get the camera out of my face!
And if you thought the show was hot and heavy, wait till you see what went on when the cameras went off. The E! True Hollywood Story of Melrose Place. It's all new, all true, every night this week on E!
This message is brought to you from American Atlantic Financial Corporation. Doesn't it pique your interest to discover how profits could potentially be made in markets like sugar, coffee, gold, foreign currencies, grains, unleaded gasoline, heating oil? Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive a free video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities at no cost or obligation by just dialing toll-free 1-888-247-8400. That's 1-888-247-8400. 247-8400. American Atlantic Financial Corporation specializes in identifying undervalued opportunities and brings them to qualified investors. Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive our latest recommendation. For your free investor's kit and video, call Power, Performance, and Possibilities. Call toll-free 1-888-247-8400. The call is free. The video is free by just dialing 1-888-247-8400. Futures and options involve significant risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone.
Can you stand hearing a little bit of good news? It comes from an unlikely source. That massive tax bill that the Bushites just rammed through Congress, giving away at least $325 billion of our tax dollars to a handful of rich Americans that neither need nor deserve this windfall. But sometimes you can find a jewel in a junk pile. Tucked into Bush's massive giveaway to the Wall Street crowd is a little something that will help folks from our streets. It's a $20 billion provision to provide emergency aid for states that are grappling daily with our nation's growing health care crisis. Nearly every state in America is facing a budget squeeze, and to make ends meet, most legislatures are blindly whacking the budgets for health care programs that provide essential services to seniors, low-income children, people with disabilities, and others without health care coverage. In my state of Texas, for example, legislators, quote, fixed their budget shortfall by tossing some 250,000 children out of the state health care program, out of sight, out of mind. It's children like these that the emergency health care money will help. But this $20 billion jewel didn't just appear in Bush's junk pile of a bill. It was placed there through a determined effort led by the men and women of the Service Employees International Union. Half of SEIU's members are nurses and other health care employees who are out on the front lines of meeting America's needs. And they are appalled that so many are being abandoned in a country that is so rich. So they forged a coalition with community groups, seniors, and others, and launched a Put Families First grassroots campaign, bombarding our Congress with thousands of personal appeals for decency, fairness, and sanity. This is Jim Hightower saying, insanely, the Bushites opposed this aid, but people power prevailed. When people get organized, we win. To join other fights for good health care, call SEIU, 202-898-3200.
It's the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
That were me, been in so many places, you know I've run so many races, looked into the empty faces of the people of the night, something is just not right, cause I
know
you
won the water cooler wars with Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Choice creates competition, and competition drives down prices,
said Newt Gingrich before the United States Congress. Well, Newt, in theory, that's right. But in actual practice, in the healthcare industry, there is very little competition. Very little competition. They patent a drug, and they own it. That's it. End of discussion. Nobody can compete with that. They buy a hospital in a particular part of town, and the people in that part of town have to patronize that hospital. That's the breaks. This is that. In fact, that's how Bill Frist became a multimillionaire, buying up hospitals that used to, by law, be required to be nonprofit. Back before healthcare prices started spiraling out of control, taking these things and turning them into for-profit institutions, and Bill Frist and his family became multimillionaires. Now, how can those hospitals provide cheaper health care services than nonprofits if, on top of providing health care services, they are handing millions of dollars to Bill Frist and his family? How, Newt? Tell me. Can't be done. But this is the debate that is going to happen in front of Congress. And, in fact, the New York Times, even just to spin this thing, quote, liberal Democrats say Republicans are trying to privatize Medicare. They don't say conservative Republicans, liberal Democrats. This is bizarre. As Debbie Stabenow said, this is an effort by those who never supported Medicare in the first place to unravel the one piece of universal health insurance we now have in this country. And that is spot on. That's what's happening, folks. This is nothing less than a battle for the heart and soul of American democracy, what those in the right would call the welfare state. Now, they always spin this in this one particular direction. Let's just give money to people for doing nothing. You know, I have never in my life met anybody who's in favor of giving money to people for doing nothing. In my opinion, the most effective welfare program would be a living wage and domestic and international trade policies that protect our industries. Yeah, the corporations might be a little less profitable, but they keep jobs here in the United States. We've lost over 3 million jobs just since George Bush came into office. Where did they go? Many of them actually went overseas. I called a hotel chain the other day, an American hotel chain. The person who answered the phone on the other end was in India. The hotel doesn't even have a hotel there. 1-800-TALK-YES if you'd like to be on the program today. 1-800-825-5937. Dave in Santa Fe. Dave, we just have about a minute and a half here before... Oh, I'm sorry, Dave in Silverdale, Washington. We just have about a minute and a half before the break, but if this is a little longer than that, we can hold you over the commercial break. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom. Great show today. I just wanted to reinforce your comments about these nonprofit hospitals and that are getting bought up. And if people think about how those hospitals get built, I mean, typically it's massive effort on part of community and fundraising drives or local bonds. And
it's
so
taxpayer dollars. It's taxpayer dollars, Dave. Dave, can you hold on until we come back from the break on the other side?
Sure, thanks.
Okay, hang on. Stay tuned to the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few moments.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
An extension program in Wisconsin helps farmers protect the environment without putting them out of business. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Farming practices are often the target of environmental regulation, but for small and medium-sized farms, these rules dig into thin profits and operations struggle to comply. An extension program called Discovery Farms, based at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, is taking an innovative approach to environmental protection. Fred Madison co-directs the program, which uses on-farm research to identify sound environmental practices.
On the farms that are involved in the program, we will start out monitoring for a couple of years, either surface water or groundwater if it's appropriate, to see what's going on. And then after we get a look-see at some data, then we'll be able to sit down with the farmer, talk about how he or she farms, and see if we can figure out some ways that we can lessen the impacts of that farming system on the environment.
For example, Discovery Farms is monitoring the water quality impact of no-till planting, where farmers seed their crops without plowing. The program compares no-till with alternatives such as placing grass buffers along streams. Madison says the results can help guide government regulations.
Can we put together systems of farming in Wisconsin that function effectively from an environmental standpoint, but also can help us to be sure that the farmers are able to stay on the land? We don't want regulations imposed on agriculture that are going to put agriculture out of business. That's not the point.
The program is working on a number of dairy and hog farms in Wisconsin. Madison says research on Discovery Farms is already showing that raising crops and livestock can be both profitable and environmentally sound. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Live on lots of money. It makes a lot to say. Spends his days counting in a garage by the motorway.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman radio program, Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. We're going to get to talking about think tanks here. We're actually talking about their influence, their impact on public policy. I want to get more explicit about them, but we were speaking with Dave in Silverdale, Washington, who had called 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Dave, are you still there?
Yeah, I am, Tom.
Okay, and, yeah, you were making a point. We ran up against the tyranny of the clock.
Okay, just to finish the thought with the hospitals, and if you look at some of these nonprofit hospitals, the work, the effort of a community to build something for the community, and then the idea that they come in and basically, we publicize the cost, privatize the profits, and we seem to be, I would say, not very good consumers or not very smart consumers in the sense that we're getting sold on the idea that these HMOs and the managed health care somehow is, it's just better because I guess money's involved or something. And the health care I get today is absolutely inferior to the health care I was getting, growing up with my folks, with group insurance, and got good, adequate health care.
Back when Blue Cross and Blue Shield was required to be a nonprofit organization.
Right, and you would think, now, I'm covered by TRICARE, which is a government, it's through the military, and you would think that, well, that's good, right? Well, actually, parts of TRICARE now are managed by, have been privatized, and are managed by Humana. And when I actually needed my insurance 2 years ago, it was a disaster. It was absolutely a disaster because all of a sudden what you find is that the management in HMO is they're managing against you. They're working to keep you out of the system and to keep you away from the health care you need.
Right, because their goal is to manufacture profits, whereas Medicaid's goal is to manufacture health care.
Absolutely, and at a point in our system when we're literally rationing health care, to the idea that we point to a Bill Frist and say, well, there's a model of something. Yeah, it's a model of something horrible, a system gone awry.
Yes, I agree. I'm right there with you. Dave, thank you very much for calling, and thanks for listening. I very much appreciate your calling and sharing your thoughts with us and your experience. It's a good one, and it speaks to the issue that we're getting into here. Could think tanks help the left define a vision and unite and win in 2004? A think tank... This is from the Total Disinformation Awareness website, disinfopia.org. A think tank is an organization that claims to serve as a center for research and analysis of important public issues. In reality, many think tanks are little more than PR fronts, usually headquartered in a state or national seat of government and generating self-serving scholarship that serves the advocacy goals of their industry sponsors. Now, that sounds pretty bleak. It kind of comes back to the point that John Stauber was making in our previous hour about this extraordinary power of the public relations industry and how they've kind of risen up and taken over public discourse in the United States. We have a situation now where there are twice as many conservative think tanks as liberal ones, and the conservative ones have much more money. In fact, the top 20 conservative think tanks now spend more money than all the soft money contributions to the entire Republican Party nationwide. They have people who have titles like senior fellow and adjunct scholar, which means nothing in relation to any kind of academic degree. They're doing the things that 30, 40, 50, 100 years ago were done by universities, thinking about issues, coming up with consensus. But in a university, you subject these things to peer review, to the review of your peers, to analysis, to confront the possibility that you're engaged in nonsense, and then something comes out of that process. This still happens in universities, but it doesn't happen in think tanks. In a university, the theory is, or the practice is, that you start out saying, I wonder if it could be possible that such and such is the case. And then you test a whole bunch of different ways of determining that, and if your tests conclude that such and such is the case, then you say, hey, we've demonstrated that such and such is the case. If your tests conclude that it's not the case, you say, hey, we've demonstrated it's not the case. With a think tank, you start out backwards. You start out saying, such and such is the case. And now we're going to go off in search of evidence to back that up. And any evidence that doesn't back that up, we're going to ignore. Or we're even going to come up with strategies to disarm those people who use the contrary evidence. And, you can argue or debate about the morality of this, but the reality of the situation right now is that the think tanks on the right have become absolutely huge. If you look at a Westar or a Nexus search for who's supplying news to our major news institutions. Number one is Brookings Institution with 3,000 citations. This was from a piece in Fair's Extra Report, Think Tanks, The Rich Get Richer, in May-June of 2000 by Michael Dolny. 3,000 citations among major newspapers and television and radio transcripts. Number two, the Cato Institute, a libertarian think tank. Number three, the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank. In fact, conservative or right-leaning think tanks receive 53% of all newspaper citations, 32% from groups that were not affiliated politically, and only 16% from progressive or left-leaning think tanks. The left-leaning think tanks being massively outspent by those on the right. So some Democrats have decided that they're going to do something about this. And I'm curious what you think about this, and whether you think this is a good idea or whether it's just, you know, getting down there in the mud and getting dirty or what. John Podesta is going to be the head of this thing. It's called the American Majority Institute. And it looks like they're going to start out with about $10 million in funding. Now, that may sound like a lot of money, but consider that the American Enterprise Institute has an annual budget of about $16 million, the Hudson Institute about $7 million, the Cato Institute about $15 million. The Heritage Foundation overtly says that their purpose... Now, see, the other ones, for example, the Brookings Institution says it's a nonpartisan organization devoted to research, analysis, education, and publication on public policy issues. Right down the middle. The Heritage Foundation, on the other hand, says that their purpose is, quote, to formulate and promote conservative public policies based on the principles of free enterprise, limited government, individual freedom, traditional American values, and a strong national defense, end quote. Bringing in all these corporate constituencies. 1-800-TALK-YES is the phone number if you'd like to be on the program today. 1-800-825-5937. And Jeff in Denver has called. Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on what the last caller said. I think is one of the most important things we need to grab onto to communicate to people what's going on. And that was what he said about the, he said, he used the word publicizing, which we need to find another word, but the publicizing of costs, but the privatizing of profits.
Yes.
We're doing that in almost every segment of our government right now. The people are paying for other people to make profits.
Oh, sure. We're supporting the chemical industry by cleaning up their messes. We're supporting the nuclear industry by paying for their insurance. I mean, it just goes right on down the list.
And the military is nothing but that. And is probably one of the best weapons that we have to communicate to people what is actually going on in our government right now.
Is what?
Is that thing that they're taking public money and turning it into private profits.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So, I mean, if we can really communicate that, I think we have one of the strongest weapons we have to, you know, wake people up.
Yeah, I agree, Jeff. I agree. Thanks for sharing that.
Take care.
I appreciate the call. It's I'm spot on with you there. And in fact, I think that the more that we can get specific examples out, for example, the selling or the leasing of federal lands to mining corporations and lumber corporations for, in some cases, pennies an acre, in some cases, a few dollars an acre. And then these companies come in and they pull literally millions of dollars worth of natural resources out of these lands, leave them devastated, chuckle merrily all the way to the bank, and throw a few million bucks at the politicians. This is a system that has become so corrupted. Will a think tank on the left get the word out about this in a way that can cause us to have some fundamental change in the United States? 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, our number. Pablo in Santa Fe. Pablo, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. I just briefly wanted to point out today is the 40th anniversary of JFK, President Kennedy's speech at American University, June 10th, 1963, which he talked about world peace, which is really an amazing speech. And just to point out, it's at the JFKlibrary.org, but it was quite a revolutionary speech as far as concepts of world peace and looking at the Soviet Union and the Cold War. And
I wish I'd known that.
For people to check it out.
Yeah, I could have played part of it on the air. Perhaps we can grab a clip of it and play it later in the week. The 40th anniversary of JFKLibrary.org, did you say, Pablo?
JFKLibrary.org, yes.
Great. Okay, thanks for sharing that. I appreciate your listening and your calling in. Thank you very much. Democratic think tanks. Now, Rush Limbaugh devoted an hour to this last week, ridiculing the idea that Democrats would create a think tank. And I believe that the reason why is because those on the right are very concerned that those on the left may end up having an equal voice. It's one of the reasons why right-wing radio talk show hosts for years have been ridiculing the idea that anybody would want to listen to centrist or progressive radio programming. There's just been this, you know, this drumbeat about, oh, nobody wants to listen. Until the weekend before last at the annual Talkers Convention in New York City, one of the vice presidents of Clear Channel got up and said, well, it's just, you know, it's just a programming thing. We really need to run left-wing all the time, all day on radio stations, and they'll be just as successful as the right-wing ones because there's people who want to listen to both sides. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, and Brian in Dallas is calling. Welcome to the program, Brian.
Thank you. Hello?
Yes, welcome. What's on your mind?
Well, I heard your comment about left-wing think tanks, and I think it's a good idea, but I'm just concerned that, you know, the right will always have more money and more funding than the left.
Yeah, but they may not have more truth.
Well, right. And
I think the truth is a very powerful weapon, Brian. When people wake up, I mean, people are starting to wake up to some of the stuff that Bush has been putting out there, and he can spend millions of dollars getting his message out and have all these syncopants on Fox News, you know, quack, 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 and people just go, yeah, right, we know what's really going on.
Well, I think that's my point. I think we need to focus more on, you know, the 50% of the population that doesn't even vote. It seems that if we can just increase, you know, voter engagement in the process, that would help more than anything else.
Now, Brian, Michael Moore suggests that 50% who don't vote are actually voting.
Oh, really?
That they're voting for none of the above.
Oh, I see.
What do you think?
Well, I think the solution is to give those people a reason to vote for the Democrats. I mean, if they're saying that, you know, there's no candidate that represents their interests, then that's something that, you know, it's a real opportunity for a Democrat candidate.
I agree. I'm right there with you. And there are a number of things that we can do to encourage voter participation. One is to move our voting days from Tuesday, from a work day, to Saturday or Sunday, to a day that people traditionally don't work, or fewer people work. Another is to start instituting instant runoff voting so that we can get third party and fourth and fifth and sixth party participations in elections in ways that don't harm the parties that they're most closely aligned with. And another is public funding of elections, of saying, you know, we're going to get corporate money out of elections, and you know, this is our democracy. We participate in it. We're paying for it through our corporations right now. You're actually, you know, every penny that goes to a politician, you're paying for every time you buy a product in the marketplace. Think how much cheaper those products would be if the corporations didn't have to give $1 billion every 4 years to political candidates.
Yeah.
And we could take one-tenth of that amount of money. Like in England, I believe it's capped at £100,000 is the absolute most that a member of parliament can spend running for re-election.
Well, I think that would be great.
Yeah, if we capped it. And then the fourth is to go back to the rules that we had prior to the Telecommunications Act and prior to 86, they got broken down, and in 96 they got wiped out. The rules that said that if you want to have a license to broadcast on the airwaves, you have to give some free time to politicians to get their message out who are running for political office, because that's part of our democracy. And you're engaging in the fruits of that democracy by using the airwaves. What do you think?
Well, you know, I see this as a pattern where Republicans are trying to replace the idea of one person, one vote with, you know, $1, one vote. And it seems like they want a system where whoever has the most money has the most power, you know?
Yeah. Well, they have that system right now in Washington, D.C. I mean, if you want to sit at the table with George W., you got to pay $25,000. Although, you know, well, I can't say that about the Democratic candidates. You know, Bernie Sanders, my representative here in Vermont, he's in town all the time. And in fact, we've shown up for two of his fundraisers in the last 8 years, where they ask for a donation at the door of $5.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, and they're serving like coffee and cake and lemonade and stuff. And you don't even have to come up with the $5 if you don't want to. And some people come up with more, of course. But you know, that's what a fundraiser is for Bernie Sanders. Now, compare that with how it's done in some of these larger states. And this is, this you know, because Vermont's a small state. We only have 600,000 people in the whole state. So
yeah.
it works here. But it demonstrates the problem, I think, the systemic brokenness that we have.
Yeah.
Brian, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much for your comments and for sharing this with us. Thanks. We do have to get this fixed. If you want to change things, as Brian points out, get out there and vote. If you're not registered, register to vote. And these, as Mac in Santa Fe has so well reminded us of. Now, can a think tank on the left help this process? Can it help wake people up? Can it help spread the word? I think it's a really good question. And it's going to be interesting to see if, you know, how this shakes out. We have John Podesta, formerly of the Clinton administration, going to head this thing up, the American Majority Institute. And it'll be fascinating to see what happens. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, where we still respect we the people instead of they the transnational corporation. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
A real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Hi, this is Peter Werby from the IE America Radio Network, wondering whether you've heard about In These Times magazine, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture, has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. Find out what you're missing. Visit them online at www.inthesetimes.com or call them toll-free at 1-800-827-0270.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday. For Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a block.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Oh.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kid. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
The road is long.
Radio for the rest of us. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. We have this emerging scandal in Washington, D.C. The Washington Post wrote about it again yesterday, behind the lobbying curtain, where it looks like Joe Frist and Joe Barton, Tom DeLay and Joe Barton, took what some might suggest is a bribe in order to help out Westar Energy Incorporated, quote, get a seat at the table, end quote. $56,500 this company paid to have Joe Barton insert an exemption sought by Westar into a piece of legislation. And they're kind of weaseling around now. Mr. DeLay's spokesman, Stuart Roy, says, quote, we have no control over any fantasies they may have about what they might get for a campaign contribution, end quote, after this company gave $25,000 to a political action committee with ties to Mr. DeLay, according to the Washington Post. But that is chump change compared to the drug industry's new, I don't know if this is a think tank or a lobbying effort or what. This group is called Pharma, PHRMA. And it is an industry group, a pharmaceutical industry group. They are planning to spend, get this, folks, for the coming fiscal year, for the next year, the next 12 months, $150 million. Now, the Democrats are talking about funding the first major Democratic think tank with $10 million. And here's the drug industry coming along with $150 million just for 1 year, just for one topic. They're going to spend $1 million to, quote, create, quote, an intellectual echo chamber of economists, a standing network of economists and thought leaders to speak against federal price control regulations through articles and testimony, end quote. They've set aside over $500,000, quote, for the placement of op-eds and articles by third parties. When you see these right-wingers place op-eds in your local newspaper, they were paid very good fees by the industries they are promoting. Will the Democrats challenge this? It looks like maybe they will. It looks like maybe there is change in the wind. There might be substantial change in the wind. This think tank gets going. Who knows? Let's hope so. God bless them. Can think tanks help the left unite and win in 2004? Let's hope so. Talk radio for the rest of us. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.